The spirit life in this word will change what exists and bring the manifestation of what you call it for, if it's based on the authority of the word of God.
Today, join Kenneth Copeland and Charles Camps as they help each of us understand the importance of keeping our confession in line with God's Word. Next, on a special rebroadcast of the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we thank you so much for your word and for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for sending Brother Capps to us again today to energize us from the word of God and build our faith and release the power of God in our lives. We receive his ministry. We receive his calling and his gift in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you. Amen. Brother Charles, glory to God. I got so excited yesterday, I about knocked stuff off the table. And I ain't apologizing for none of it. Amen. Get us back into this, Brother Charles.
All right. We're going to talk about calling things that are not. Let's go back to that. In the fourth chapter of Romans, there's some things there that we need to discuss because so many people don't really realize that God is the one that calls things that are not as though they were. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't get the two verses into Genesis, you see God calling things that are not. He looked out and saw darkness, said, light be, and light was.
And he never changed it.
And he never changed it. Amen. Now, he called light out of darkness, but let's go back to Abraham. Abraham is called the father of our faith. So we ought to, let's look at this. Chapter 4, verse... Verse 3 says, for what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now notice that it says Abraham believed God, not Abram. Now Abram did believe God. I'm not putting him down, but there's a difference in the way Abraham believed God and the way Abram believed God. Mm-hmm. Now let's look down at verse 13. For the promise that he should be heir of the world, talking about Abraham, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, and if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed, so that includes us.
That's right.
It wasn't through the law, but to his seed, back up, let's read it over. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So we're back to the faith thing again. Now, come down to verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed.
Praise God.
Not to that only which is the law, but to that also which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. He's the father of our faith, as it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now notice, this was God's idea. This wasn't man's idea. It wasn't religion's idea. In fact, it's very foreign to most religions to call things that are not. But God called things that were not as though they were, and he taught Abraham to do that. He tried to teach Abram to do that, but he couldn't get Abram to do it. Mm-hmm. And we'll see that as we talk about it just a little further here. Now, notice he said, who against hope, now he's talking about Abraham here, who against hope believed in hope that he might be the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. When there was no natural hope, now what he's talking about, just briefly in review, Abram was 75 years old and God said that he's going to bless all the nations of the world, be great nations come out of him. His wife was barren. He was 75 years old. He called him out from among his kin. And God taught him, had to teach him faith. Mm-hmm. He couldn't read Mark 11, 23 and 24 and what Paul wrote in Romans, the 10th chapter. The word is nigh you, it is in your mouth and in your heart, and that faith cometh by hearing. So God had to deal with him on his level. And God will deal with people on their level. But see, he couldn't read this new covenant. Now, what you see is that the Apostle Paul is bringing this up and calls Abraham the father of our faith and says, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't concentrate on that. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able to perform. Now, on one of the other broadcasts, we talked about this a little bit, how God taught Abraham faith. God had to deal with him on his level. So when Abram had the promise for 24 years and no manifestation of this promise. And the 15th chapter, when God appeared to him, he said, what will you give me seeing I go childless? Now, God told him, I'll give you everything you can see. And he saw himself childless. And so God had a problem in teaching Abraham faith. So what did he do? Let's kind of concentrate this. We want to move on with it. He changed his name. In the 17th chapter of Genesis, he said, your name's no longer Abram, but it's Abraham. Now, when God changes your name is changed. Mm-hmm. And when they said, oh, Abraham, he had 300 and some odd people working for him, enough people to overcome five kings and their armies and bring back the spoil. Pretty good group. How many times do you suppose they said, oh, Abraham, where you want to dig the well? Abraham, and he's hearing father of nations, father of nations, father of nations, father, and faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And notice that's a continual sense. Hearing is a continual sense. We wouldn't say, how's your herd? You'd think he's talking about cows. We say, how are you hearing? How do you hear always? Mm-hmm. So hearing is a process of causing faith to come. The Scripture tells us in the book of Hebrews, hold fast to your confession of faith without wavering. Wouldn't be a need to hold fast to it if he wasn't capable of losing it. So we have to keep confessing the Word, saying what the Word said or what the Word has promised, and we find that he taught Abraham faith through changing his name. Now, he was 99 years old when he changed his name, had the promise 24 years. And then, in less than a year after he changed his name, the promised child was born.
Praise God.
And you add or take 9 months from the pregnancy stage, it started 3 months after he started saying what God said.
Right.
Now, some of you have been wondering, how long would it take me to get the promise manifest in my life, you know? And you may never get it manifest in your life if you don't agree with God or say what God said, you know, because you've got to call it the way the Word said it. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be, didn't say you would be, said you might be partakers of his divine nature. So by confessing the promise of God, proclaiming the promise of God, it causes faith to come. And this is the same principle that God used on Abraham. And when he changed his name, it changed his concept, and he began to see himself. See, in the 15th chapter, he said, what will you give me seeing I go childless? After he said long enough that I am Abraham, the father of nations, I'm the father of nations, I'm the father of nations. What's he doing? He's calling things that are not, because he wasn't at that point. But then he was.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the concept that we call calling things that are not as though they were. Now, somebody said,
Charles, let me ask you about this right here and see what I want your take on this. When this must have stuck in him when God said, I have called you the father of many nations.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, you're going to become the father of many nations. Mm-hmm. He said, I've called you that. Well, he called him that back there years and years before. But somehow or another, that got into the Abraham's thinking, didn't it? That God had already called him that. It's time for me to begin calling myself what he's already said.
That's right. And you notice it said there in the fourth chapter of Romans that he staggered not at the promise of God, and that he was, when there was no hope,
he believed.
He believed in hope.
Yeah.
But now that's Abraham. That's not Abram.
See? Yes, sir.
He's talking about Abraham. And Abram struggled all through this thing for 24 years struggling and never became fully persuaded. The scripture says he believed in the Lord, and I'm certainly, I know that he didn't believe God lied to it, but he never could latch on to that and get it in his own mouth. We have no record they ever got it in his mouth. This is why it is so important to give voice to the Word of God.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it just gets so far out. I mean, it even puts the angels to work for you when you start voicing God's Word. And, now, somebody said, well, Brother Capps, do you have another scripture for that? Go to the 1 Corinthians, verse 27 and 28. Now, there's several things involved here, but I think you can see that the principle here is involved in calling things that are not. And it says in verse 27, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27, it says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Brother Copeland, I've heard people say, now this confession and calling things are not just foolishness. Well, it wrote about them right here. But he has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and the things which are despised. I've even heard people say, I just despise to have to watch what I say. He wrote about them right here.
He sure did.
And saying, things that are despised hath God chosen. Now notice in these two verses so far, it said God chosen three times.
Mm-hmm.
God chose this message. Yea, yes. And things which are not. Are you ready for this? Things which are not, to bring to naught things that are.
Praise God.
Now, that's a good place to shout.
Yes,
man.
It is.
I mean, if you can see it, if it's in the natural realm, God chose things that are not to do away with that you don't want manifest in the natural realm, to bring it to naught, zero.
Stop it right there.
This is the principle of doing it, calling things that are not. And what does it mean to call things that are not? You're calling things that are not yet manifest, as though they were manifest, until they are manifest. And when you do that, what happened to what was manifested? Well, for instance, in healing. If you call yourself healed and say, thank God by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, then you've always got somebody comes up and says, well, now, Brother Copeland or Brother Capps, I don't know how you can say you're healed when you're sick. Hey, that's all the more reason I ought to call for it.
Yeah.
I'm calling for what I don't have. That's the scriptural thing in the Bible that Jesus taught and God taught all through this Word. He told Joshua, let not the book of the law, which is the Word of God that had in that day, don't let it depart out of your mouth. By His stripes ye were healed. Isaiah says you were healed. And just all the healing scriptures, keep them in your mouth. Now, see, if somebody heard me confessing the Word, if I had some ailment, or you as well, they might think you're just lying, or me lying. I'd say, thank God I'm healed. Thank God I don't have a pain in my body. Now, I might be doubled over with pain, but I wouldn't be talking to somebody to try to convince them of that. If they heard me in my room confessing, I'd be confessing no pain when I was doubled over in pain, because I'm calling for what I don't have. Now, there's a difference in a lie and confession, and some folks don't know the difference, and I'm going to help you out on this here. Now, if you ask me, or someone else, let's say someone down the street just asked me, said, well, Brother Capps, how you feel today? I say, glory to God, I feel good, not a pain in my body. Thank God I'm well and strong and all of that, and I'm hurting and I'm sick. Now, that's not a confession, that's a lie. I'm trying to convince him of something that is not already true, and he don't know about calling things that are not. But if he hears me, and I'm in another room, and maybe he's rooming next door, and he hears me saying all those things, and I didn't lie to him. I'm calling for what I don't have.
Well, you wasn't talking to him anyway.
And you know, people make a mistake when they think they got to make all these confessions before other people. Especially unbelievers, because they'll talk you out of it.
Yeah, I believe that.
So God chose, Paul said, God chose things that are not to bring to naught things that are not manifest. Spiritual forces, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
And God's word is a spiritual force, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. The spirit life in this word will change what exists and bring the manifestation of what you're calling for if it's based on the authority of the word of God. Now, he goes on to give you all kinds of things here in chapter 2. He said, but as it is written, eye has not seen, ear not heard, neither is entered in the heart of man the thing God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man? Now, I know all about me. My spirit knows all about me. That's what he's saying. The spirit of man knows all about man. And even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So my spirit knows all about me. I don't, but my spirit does. And God's Spirit knows all about God. You get those two spirits together in the Holy Spirit,
amen,
and you've contacted the source of all knowledge.
Ooh, that's wonderful.
Man. Doesn't mean you have at that point, but you've contacted the source of all knowledge.
Which means it's available to you, too. He said over there, but, you know, as is written, and you hear this, this is another one of those scriptures, well, you know, Brother Capps, eyes not seen, ear hadn't heard, neither's entered into the heart of man the things which God's prepared for them that love him. Yes, you never know what God's going to do, you know. But tell you what that said. It didn't say you never know what God said. It's, but it's been revealed to us by His Spirit.
That's it.
And that's what you just got through describing there. Man, your spirit, born again, the righteousness of God and the infusing of the Holy Spirit, bringing the fullness and all the stuff God knows in there?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
At least just
I better shut up.
I you feel the preacher coming
I can't understand this. You better take over here quick.
Now look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we may know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh. Which
Hallelujah.
Things, listen to this, which things also we speak.
Yes. Glory. Hallelujah.
The speaking of the word causes faith to come. The speaking of the word, you call things that are not as though they were. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Oh, mama.
For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Have you ever been around someone, you walked up to them, and something inside you just said, you could just hear it. Don't do business with this fella.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't be involved with this individual. And you went away feeling guilty. And that wasn't you. That was the Holy Spirit telling you something you didn't know, and you better listen to it.
You better listen to it. Yes,
and
sir.
If you got that red light on the inside of you, you know, I've heard Brother Hagin say this, you know, if you don't, when you pray about something and you got an uneasiness down in here, that's a red light. Better stay away from it. And it said when you pray in the Spirit and you get a velvety feeling down in here, then there's a green light.
Yeah.
So, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, but he himself is judged of no man. Now, when it comes to calling things that are not, this is a most misunderstood subject. In fact, the church up until a few years ago knew very little about it. Some still don't know anything about it. But it is a biblical principle that Jesus used in all of his ministry. Now, we'll get on that subject tomorrow. We don't have time to really get on into it today. But Jesus used it in all of his ministry. And you could read the Bible for years. If you don't study it from that angle, you'll never see it.
You know.
The way I got a hold of that, I asked the Lord one time. I said, now, Lord, if the Mark 11:23 is really the principle and calling things or not is a principle of God that we should be operating in, why didn't you do it in your ministry? And for the next 15 minutes, I was embarrassed beyond measure.
Yeah. Oh,
because
I know the feeling.
I had read all of these things that Jesus did. He got in the boat. He's preached the parable of the sower. And he says, let us go to the other... We're going to the other side of the lake, in other words. Let us go to the other side of the lake. They get in the boat. They start across the lake. And a storm of wind come on the lake. And it was a... You know, he's asleep on the pillow. They wake him up and tell him what the devil said.
Yeah.
We're all going to perish.
Yeah.
I see him get up and walk to the front of that boat and put his foot on the bow of that boat, look right out in the face of that storm, and he said, peace! What's he doing? There's no peace out there. There's a storm on. Oh, he's calling things that are not. And then there was
and
peace.
And then there was.
He looked at the wind. See, he dealt with the wind first because that's what's causing the waves. Then he looked at the waves and said, be still. But when he said that, they weren't still. Mm-hmm. He's calling things that are not. And then they were. And one scripture says, there was a great calm. And that's the way you calm the storms in your life.
Praise God. We'll get into this in tomorrow's broadcast. I'm quite certain. When someone says, well, yeah, but now I call it like it is. Well, Abraham did that, but he had a revelation that if God said it, that's the way it is. Whether it looks like it or not, that's the way it is. And he actually was calling it like it was, but he didn't consider what he could see.
Right.
When God said, David is king, he didn't say that after he was sitting on that throne. He said that through Samuel's mouth, behold, the king of Israel. And that man was king right then. It had to come to pass, but God said it. So that's saying it like it is. And when you begin to realize that this is, and you begin to say this, then you are calling it like it is, and it will come to pass. I just had to get my 2 cents worth in there. He stirred me up. Did you know that? We'll be back in just a moment.
For every believer longing to receive the blessing God has provisioned for each of us, for anyone with a friend or loved one in need of the victory that is the result of Bible faith, Kenneth Copeland Ministries offers the spiritual perspectives of Charles Capps, presented in this profound book, Faith and Confession. Faith and Confession is a practical, biblical look at exactly how to activate Bible faith in your daily life. This is nearly 300 pages that clearly outline how the faith-born confessions of God's Word tap into the supernatural realm of blessings.
This is a 21st century look at the biblical principle that balances faith and confession. In this book, Charles Capps explains how the law of faith works, the difference between a confession and a lie, and how to use wisdom when acting on faith. The abundant life God desires for every believer is within reach. For you and for someone you love, Faith and Confession from Charles Capps will open the door.
To order your copy of Charles Capps' book, Faith and Confession, log on to kcm.org and order online. This book is essential for your family and is available for just $12. To order by phone, call us at 800-575-4455. You may also write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your copy of Faith and Confession by Charles Capps today.
Brother Capps, in his book, Faith and Confession, How to Activate the Power of God in Your Life, calling things that are not is a Bible method. It is a divine Bible principle. Now, when you get material like that, and you meditate on it, and you study it, and then you go back and read, by his stripes you were healed. And then you read this, and you meditate on it some more. And then you read, by his stripes ye were healed. All of a sudden, it begins to grow in you. Wait a minute here. God's already said I'm healed. I believe I'm going to say what he said. Now you're on your way. If you won't stop it, it won't stop. It'll just keep on and keep on until the divine principle produces the divine results. And that's the reason it thrills us to give you the opportunity to get hold of this material. This is just spiritual dynamite. Praise God. Father, we pray for every person in this radio and television audience throughout the world. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Oh, for revelation that changes things. Brother Capps, God bless you again, sir. My, such a thrill. This is Kenneth Copeland, Charles Capps, reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
This is the year of fullness of blessing. If you'd like more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or today's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call 800-575-4455.
I'm telling you, the Word works. Speak it into adversities, it will turn around.
And I mean, we are praying, name of Jesus, wielding bunch of believers that'll carry out what God's called us to do in the earth.
Jump into faith, hope, and love at the 2008 Great Lakes Believers Convention, August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, Keith Moore, and Bill Winston for 6 days of soaking in God's Word. Experience the presence of God in worship and immerse yourself in God's Word as it changes you forever. Super Kid Academy will also be in session for children ages 6 through 12. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory,
God used his words as containers to transport his faith out there into the darkness and call light out of darkness.